This is an interview this afternoon with Mildred Doughty. It's Thursday, January the 26th, 2005, and we're sitting in the parlor of her 1818 federal house, known as the Stockholm House. Let me start, Mildred, by asking you, did you grow up in Hopewell Junction?
No, I grew up in LaGrange Hill, up on off Todd Hill Road. My father was when he was a young man, he was one of the delivering the paper. He was one of the first people that had one of the automobiles, early automobiles. Then after he bought the property he had, he began setting out fruit orchards. And I guess at the time of his death, he owned about 33 acres of fruit, apples, peaches. And seasonally, he told strawberries and had chickens. So it was mixed farming, you know.
So
but not dairy farming. We had cows just for our own use.
How many were there in your family?
I had an older brother. He died when he was 15. And my twin brother, Milton, and a younger sister, Dorothy.
And you, what was it like growing up in LaGrangeville at that time?
We're pretty much just on the farm. It's the farms across the way. We kids used to play in the barns, you know, hay barns, jump off the rafters into the bales, into the hay. It wasn't baled, it was loose hay. And we walked off to school, which was at the little schoolhouse there was, it wasn't a mile.
Was that the schoolhouse which still exists and is part of the Historical Society of LaGrangeville?
No.
On the corner of
Freedom Plain, Historical School.
Yeah.
That was a two-room school.
Where was your school?
What's now the Knoxon Road and Kukla Road at the junction there.
That building doesn't exist anymore.
I went to that school, and after I graduated from New Paltz, I went back teaching there.
That's when you first started teaching, was it?
Yes,
at that school?
Yeah, in 1933.
And then you moved across to New Hackensack to teach?
Yes. And
what
from there,
that?
When the central school centralized, I was there in the sixth grade there. And that's where I finished working for the central school. Well, although I was part of the time at Fishkill Plains, a third grade at Fishkill Plains, and when they centralized, I went, where did we go first? Myers? Oh. No, I went to the main building in the village, and I taught sixth grade there.
Off Middle Bush Road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it says over the doors, these doors are always open to those who wish to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While we're talking about school, I should introduce John Hellmeyer. John was a student of Mildred's in, 1930?
About 36 through 38 in New Hackensack School, and she was a teacher there, and she used to pick me up at my house, which was 2.5 miles away on Didell Road, and take me to school every morning and bring me back every night. So it's basically sure I didn't skip any school.
And if the traveling wasn't good, we had to put our own chains on and get back home.
Right.
So where were you living at that time then?
No, LaGrangeville.
In LaGrangeville. And then you moved?
Yeah, I married at my last, in 1939, I was teaching at New Hackensack at that time. And then the central school came in and I went to the main building in Wappingers. Yep. And taught sixth grade there also.
When you were at New Hackensack, that was a one-room schoolhouse?
No, two-room.
Two-room. And what grades did you teach?
I taught the upper grades. And that was 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Right. In those times, you had to pass the Regents before you went to high school, the 8th grade Regents. Yeah. Times have changed.
I remember you brought a radio in, and we listened to the coronation, I think, of King George. when I was in the 7th or 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
That would have been King George the 6th.
King George the 6th, wasn't
it? Yeah. How did you manage to keep discipline there with those quite old students?
I don't know.
Well, they just were behaved.
I guess they just knew they better behave. I didn't have any discipline problems. Yeah. I remember when I first took over the Grangeville School, Slade School, there was a boy there that had upset the previous teacher quite a bit. But he didn't give me any trouble.
Hmm. Were there special days you had at school, like Arbor Day and Christmas, special events
mm-hmm.
that you can remember?
Oh, we used to write our own Christmas. It was a community affair, the school. And so, come Christmas time, we'd look up a play or we'd make a play, and the children would all learn a piece, and the parents would come in the afternoon and hear them recite and so forth. It was fun.
When, as you were growing up, what did you do for entertainment? Did you go to have dances, local dances, or did you play with the children in the area?
Not until I was older, a teenage. Then I went to the Grange dances that they used to have. But before that, well, I did belong to the 4-H clubs, and so we had meetings with our leaders, and other than that, we were pretty much at home. I had piano lessons that I had to walk over to the music teacher's. She lived on Route 82 there, and we went to church regularly. My father was a Quaker. And whenever they had their yearly meeting or special meetings, we would go up to Moore's Mills to the old meeting house. It still stands there. And I went to the Methodist church there in LaGrangeville. It's still there. And taught Sunday school. And when I got older, the younger groups had their youth group meetings. On Sunday night, I usually think it was.
When did you first move to East Fishkill or Hopewell?
In 1939.
And that's when you moved to
when I got married with to Lou, yeah. I met him at a dance over in Wikipedia. What hall was that called?
Oh, the church, the community church, the Grange Hall?
The Grange Hall.
Opposite the Methodist church there?
No, it wasn't connected with the church. It was with the Grange.
Yeah.
They had a dance there, and that's how I met.
On Old State, what is Old State Road today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right close, quite close to the railroad tracks there. What were they? I don't know what hall it was called. Some hall.
And so you courted him, and then did he have to go off to the war?
Yeah, Louis left, had to go in 1942. So then I stayed here, and at that time, Louis's mother wasn't too well. And they came down and lived with me for a while, and both his father and mother. And they were still living with me when Louis came home. And 45. And I was teaching all the while that he was in the service. And so they stayed until their help, neither one of them, Frank or Sarah, had good help. And they both passed away in 1948. In the meantime, this house was rented.
Because this was their house.
Yeah.
But they moved across the road and lived
with you on
the smaller house.
To be with me because I could
care
for them better
than
all by themselves. And at that time, when we rented it, in the beginning, when they came down, the house was heated with just individual oil stoves, you know. And, of course, that wasn't very satisfactory. Once the tenants had put in a cold winter, they were ready to move. So we had to keep redecorating the house, it seemed, because after each tenant left, there was repairs to be made, painting inside and so forth. Then when, after he came back from the service, we were all together down at the little house, his father and mother. And after they passed away, we rented again. We finally put in two furnaces, one for the upstairs and one for the down. And that worked fairly well, but there was still people moving in and out. So in 1962, we decided, let's redecorate it for ourselves and go there. And that's when we came up here in the fall of 1962.
How much land went with the house at that time? How many acres?
It was a whole farm then. It wasn't divided into lots or anything. Whatever was left.
How many acres do you remember?
No.
You went
originally there was over 200 acres, but by that time, we sold off. When I was married, we sold off to Dean Dutcher. That property where he has his home now was property of ours. And the McCurdy house, that was ours. Right across the road where the dentist is now, we sold to anyway.
Yeah. This property
Charlotte Grove was sold. I think Frank and Sarah sold that. We didn't. It was gone by that time.
But the property goes right back to the creek?
Yeah, it did.
Did it go across the creek or not?
Originally, yes.
But
went right across to touch the Palin
property. Well, do you remember if there was a small bridge across the creek, or has it always been the one on Palin Road?
At the time... They straightened the road, this road, what do we call that?
Palin
Road. Yeah, they straightened that, and they took some of our land, and they did buy it from us. Somewhere is the deed for that.
But was there was a bridge before that?
Yes. And every
in the
time
same place or further down?
It was a little to the left of what the present bridge is.
Okay.
And it used to flood every time there was a storm. And then after they built the new bridge... It's been better.
So did you knew Louise Palin? Did you know?
I know. Yes.
But only when you were an adult living here, when you were after you were married.
Yes, I knew Louise.
Mm-hmm. And because she was a teacher.
She was Louise's aunt.
Yes.
My husband's aunt.
Okay.
Sarah.
Yes.
Married Frank. Sister.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Oh, by the way, she gave, Louise Palin gave that dry sink to my husband, and it came out of the Palin house.
Oh, really?
And she had it.
Maybe one of these.
When they moved, the Palins moved to Beacon. I'm not sure of the date. They sold the farm.
Yes.
They moved to Beacon. And this, they moved with
Beacon. That was about
19.
And
it was just stored in the basement down in Beacon. And later on, in later years, she had it done over and gave it to Louis, and there it is.
Well, maybe one of these days it'll find its way back to the Palin house.
I don't know. Louis, my son has his eyes on it, I know.
The Palins moved out, I think, in 1925.
Has it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I never knew her when she... I didn't know the Palins.
When they lived there.
No, I didn't know them, but I know Joseph. Louis used to go over to see his grandparents, and his other grandparents were right down there. And he told me he used to hide. He'd go, the Swartoutville school was down the road a ways, you know, about where that restaurant is, I think. The Swartout school was. There is a restaurant down there. Road somewhere.
Yeah, I think I know the one you mean. The name has just escaped me.
Anyway, he would go head off for school, and Grandma and Grandpa Dowdy would see him going, and sometimes he'd sneak in there. Wouldn't come back home until it was time to go to school. That's what he told me about it. Of course, I don't know anything about that.
So you had quite a big family. You originally?
No.
No, there was not.
I just had there were four children.
Four children, yes.
Yeah.
Your children.
Oh, I only have two.
Yes, but you were one of four.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of jobs to do when you were living at home, as you were growing up on the farm? Or?
Well, I was a 4-H member. I raised chickens. That was my project as a 4-H mm-hmm. member.
Yeah.
And I used to do canning. And making of jelly and jam and all like that. It was all connected with the 4-H. And my mother was a very good cook.
She was our 4-H club leader in the Busy Bees in the Lackasack.
Yeah.
And she was our chaperone. I got pictures over there when she was our chaperone. We went to Cornell for a week. Well, back in 1937.
By
bus.
Yeah. I don't know how many children there were on the bus, but I know that we had a great time.
You got the pictures of them all over there.
Do you remember if there were any creameries in this
yes.
area?
Oh, yes. There was a creamery up in Billings. Menford Star was one that operated it. And that's where a lot of farmers took their milk. And then... In the winter months like this, that lake or water, I don't know whether they called it a lake or not, but anyway, we always went skating there and did all those kinds of things.
Did they harvest the ice there?
Oh, yes, yes.
For the creamery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People came with their bobsleds, weren't they called mm-hmm. bobsleds?
Yeah, yeah.
And cut the ice and carried it home. As I said, my grandparents had an ice house there, and they'd store the ice there. Between the sawdust, and that was kind of interesting.
Do you remember if there was a creamery, I believe, at John's, well, at Wickapie or Johnsville, as it was called?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay, how about
there
the
was
Bordens?
What,
there was a
wasn't
big
there
Bordens.
One right here, Bordens?
There was a big one at Bordens,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But that was gone when I came. I didn't know anything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The roads were a little different then.
Yeah. But as you grew up, you always had your family always had a car, or did they have a horse and cart or carriage?
Oh, we had a car. My dad was one of the, as I said, he was a mail carrier, one of the first cars that was used in that area at that time. Yeah, well, there was always a car.
Were there any buggies around at that time, wagons? As you grew up, do you remember?
Must have been some, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because in the other room, you see that little bit of a chair with two dolls sitting in it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was a kid, I walked down to my grandmother, Allie's, and my aunt, Amy, and my grandmother were going had a horse and buggy to ride to Poughkeepsie, probably to the covered bridge. Somewhere near Page is there.
Yes.
And the seat of the buggy only seated two, really. I don't know how old I was and where they were, what they went on the road for anyway. They took me. And so they put that little chair in front of them for me to sit in. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had a good ride, I guess, until old Nellie switched her tail. And it got in my eye. And only, that's really the only thing I really remember very much about the trip was that that hurt so.
Yeah.
And I had to cry. And I have a little chair. I don't know what they could have gone for at that time. But we went in the buggy. I showed it to...
That one?
Oh, here it is.
Was that the one?
I expect... No, it wasn't that one. Because this is a Dowdy buggy. Oh. And that was an Alley buggy. Okay. I did show you that.
Yes, you did. That's a great picture, yeah.
And that's, so really that's the, great Annie.
Yeah, the horse and buggy era was really over as you were growing up. Yeah,
I've got a sled up in my barn.
Did you used to use
similar,
that?
Similar. Yeah, we had horses when the kids were little.
Oh.
Of course, we weren't hitching him up, but we rigged up some harness, and we did have one of the sleds and went around that field a few times with a horse. But the sled's upstairs in the barn still. It's similar to those that Mrs. Phillips has loaned.
Yes, yeah.
I wanted to do similar, but my family didn't think that was the thing to do. Let them stay there. Maybe someday I'll... repair them, but I don't think that someday is going to happen. There's an old corn sheller up there, too.
Oh, is there? Yes.
We loaned that to someone not too long ago, but they brought it back, so it's still there.
You don't have any ice harvesting equipment, do you, like the tongs or the
straw? Used to be, but yeah. We rented the barn, or we rented this house. Of course, the tenants thought they could go through the bar and all those things disappeared.
Yeah.
So I don't have any of those.
So you've seen a lot of changes in this area over the years. I mean, it was quite rural as you were growing up.
Oh, yes. It's so different.
Yeah. Did you used to go in on the railroad, on the train at all to
My husband Beacon did, or? To school the Beacon. He used to get on the, right here at the track, you know, at the crossroads, he'd jump on the train and go on down the Beacon to school. Then it would kind of slow up here and he'd go off. But I didn't. When I went to high school, my father had to furnish the car, and my brother and I were too young to drive a car, so somebody else in the community was older, and he drove the car, and we went to Millbrook. Because you couldn't go to high school. There was only the Poughkeepsie High School and Millbrook High School. There wasn't any Arlington High School. So if you went to Poughkeepsie School, you had to live in the city of Poughkeepsie. So my father paid tuition, and we got into Millbrook. I graduated from Millbrook. So my brother.
Was there a train service that went up to Millbrook from here?
Yes, it went through Millbrook we didn't go by train. No. There was a train station there at LaGrangeville, too. I don't know, but is it still there? I'm not sure.
LaGrangeville?
It might be.
Scriver's sure.
Store was a very usual place.
The depot
was
still there in St. LaGrange.
Is it?
Yeah.
People live in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It was somebody. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of LaGrange.
Yeah. And that was where the post office was. Now they're trying to make it the center over to Freedom Plains.
Right.
Which, to me, it's the wrong place. But anyway.
Now, do you know who built this house originally?
Stockholm.
Yeah, which Stockholm was that?
Aaron.
Aaron Stockholm.
Aaron and his family. Where is that little...
Yeah, you showed me the...
The town of East Fishkill here was built in 1818, and this is one of the several 2.5-story federal style farmhouses in East Fishkill, and it mentions what they were. Aaron Stockholm built the house for his son John. And these dates, 1795 to 1836, that must be Aaron's birth date.
John, I would think. Probably.
And the Dowdy family took over in 1851. And the Reynolds doorways, these p- pictures already. He sent me these pictures, which you have.
Yeah.
Peter Roy Jameson.
Yeah, yeah.
And they haven't changed much. Now, this is the back side of that barn. Yeah.
And when did your husband, did he grow up in this house?
Yes. He was born in this house. Those days you were born in the house you lived in.
So 1851, and so was John his great grandfather?
Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron Stockholm.
The Doughtys came in 1851.
Yeah. But we weren't related to Stockholm.
No, but. No. In 1851, who was that? Do you know which of the Doughtys?
That's the Doughty. Aaron bought it.
Aaron Doughty bought it?
No.
He built the house. 1851. Samuel bought it.
And he was your husband's grandfather or
great-grandfather? Yeah.
So the Doughtys have lived here for over 1.5 centuries.
Here's where we live. Here's the one that bought
Samuel?
The farm.
Okay.
Samuel, and he had a son.
Gilbert,
and he had a son Frank, and Frank had
Louis
Augustus. That was my husband, and
your son.
Louis Joseph is my son, and those two
Ellen
are
and Jesse.
Joseph's son.
They are.
Six generations, I figured. Only they're not living here now.
Fascinating, yeah.
And I think either one of them are that interested. My daughter isn't interested. I had a daughter and a son, Louis Joseph, and I didn't put the daughter here. She likes everything new and modern. She thinks people that lived years ago, they were so careless and so dirty and so forth.
But as they get older, you know, they probably appreciate the history a bit more.
Yeah, my brother, the Alley homestead was an old homestead too, like just about the same period as this. And I was always sorry that my brother didn't take over the homestead down there, but he didn't. He built a new house up there.
And he sold, and that's now owned by Edward Cunningham?
Yeah, the homestead is.
The homestead
yeah.
is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
They've changed it quite a lot, I think.
Have they? I haven't seen
I
it,
haven't
but I've
been,
heard it's very nice.
I think they, it was a Dutch kitchen on the bottom and then the other floors. And I believe they went to the backside and put a big wing, and that's where the modern kitchen is. And so then what was the parlor at that time would probably be their dining room. And they had bedrooms upstairs there, too. Mm-hmm. And the attic was a good ceiling above. They probably could put rooms up there if they wanted.
Yeah.
So, change has come.
Well, thank you very much, Mildred, for
allowing
us to talk to you. It's been most interesting, yes. And I'm sure
there's a lot of interesting things here, but you don't know how to take care of it sometimes. I don't. Anyway, as I told you, I have that. This is what Mr. Town of East Fishkill sent me, these pictures. Because I was wondering I read in one of the paper, and I didn't cut out. They're printing up, East Fishkill's printing up, a couple editions?
Three. Plus they're going to have CD-ROMs, right?
Yes.
Pete called me twice the other day.
Did he?
Yeah, about those.
He told me that you were going to spend $350 and buy a copy.
I'm right.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Are they that expensive?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the audio in the book. So.
No.
Maybe he told me after that.
Well,
I try to keep all these things together,
but I don't know how to put some of it together.
I don't even know if we have to do it really this year, but we can talk about it. Well, the thing is, Mildred, every piece of history is important, and it gets more and more important as time goes by.
Now, you see, this is Augustus Doughty, who died in 918, and he was in Poughkeepsie. So somehow there was a Doughty on Mill Street in Poughkeepsie. And see, we saved the clipping. Mm-hmm. But how?
Was there an attorney called Doughty in Beacon at one time?
Oh, yes, Francis Doughty.
Francis Doughty, yeah.
We do know he was related to us. Because the original Francis Doughty came, he was a Reverend Francis Doughty, came in around Long Island somewhere. And we did trace from that.
Okay.
But I don't know where all these Augustuses came from.
You could do a lot of digging and find out the information, though.
It's very confusing, though, as you point out, because they often had the same name.
Yes. And see, they just called him Augustus. Well, the one that bought this farm was Samuel Augustus. And then they had a daughter, one of them later. Her name was Augusta, that married Bryant. And our tombstone up in the church cemetery is on one side it says Bryant, on the other side it says Doughty.
Oh.
That's the Freedom Plains.
That was Augusta. Augusta married a Bryant, and they didn't have any children.
Oh.
But I never knew her either. But you see, this Augustus, and Gussie seems to keep coming up all the time.